We're gonna talk to some people, gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna talk to some people, gonna learn a lot of stuff. We're gonna talk to some people, gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna talk to some people, gonna learn a lot of stuff. 'Cause Kristen knows blank.
This is the Kristen Knows Blank podcast, where I have on a guest to talk to me about something that they're an expert on. We do five quick questions and play a rad lib, and everybody goes home happy and smart. And today I would love to tell you what my episode is about, but I've got a couple of reasons why I won't. Before we get to that, guys, thank you for listening to this podcast. If you like it or if you don't, take a second to click that like or subscribe or follow button. However you're listening, there's a button that says like or subscribe or follow. Just push that button and see what happens. It might kill somebody. You don't know. Hi, I'm Kristen Key. I'm the host of this crazy mess, and you can find me through my website, kristenkey.com. There you can find me and follow me on all my social media, subscribe to my YouTube, get a cameo from me. I write songs for everybody that gets a cameo. I'm also on Patreon, so please join my Patreon and support this and all my shows. Now, my guest today. She's one of the co-hosts of the Social Distancing Social Club, one of my favorite shows on the internet. She also co-hosts the podcast Origin Stories with Chris Bowers. Hey, computer lady, play that interview with Rachel Gallagher.
Playing interview with Rachel Gallagher.
Rachel, I'm so excited to have you on today.
Hi there. How do I sound and look? Is it all okay?
You sound amazing. You look amazing. I'm excited. It's just us girls today.
It is.
Don't have those stinky, stupid boys. So
interrupting us. We don't. Like, thank God for that.
They will somehow.
I've got the quiet sign ready. Always.
Nice. Gosh. So how did, like, before I get into your topic today, how did you end up on Social Distancing Social Club? I've never understood this. Where did you come from?
You and me both. Right. Yeah, so I had met Steve when he was touring in Australia, and I was kind of living there at the time.
Okay.
And when I came to LA, I have a twin brother here, so I came to like visit and just hang out, and ended up moving here during that trip. And I only knew comics, so I was just kind of hanging out with a few of them. And he needed help booking Comedy Juice here in LA. And so since I'm not a comic and I've got like a project management, like organizational background, he asked if I'd be interested. And so... yeah, I was doing that for a couple years then before the pandemic hit.
Then Bowers and Glebe and Hofstetter just like abducted you into this.
They did. So fun fact, there was two of us at first. So they're like, hey, we just need a producer kind of like on camera a little bit to read tips.
I remember
Yeah. And the one guy, like, terrible. He hated it as well, like rightly so. And so it then just morphed into, hey, would you want to do this, you know, permanently? And then, hey, you're actually kind of, you're part of the show now. Do you want to become like a partner? So
yeah, the show, the show, it's one of those needed a woman's touch kind of things. You just can't have without you, you know, to kind of be the glue, but also just to all right, let's steer the dumpster fire back on track. At least it can still be a dumpster fire, but it needs to go somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's so what you do. It's so good.
Hi. Lord help me.
I'm going to learn so much about you today. So I ask you to come up with a topic, something that you're very knowledgeable about, and lay it on me. What topic do you have today?
So what I suggested is like 12-step like recovery around like relationships, codependency, because it's not glamorous, but it's something I think a lot of people struggle with, and it's something
I love it because I speak 12-step from... I'm an alcoholic. Hey. So I think it's all the same language. When I would do cruise ships, there's these things called Friends of Bill meetings, and it's like a super secret meeting. Anybody can go that knows Bill, you know, from these 12-step programs. And I noticed that there were some overeaters there. There were some gamblers there. There's some people like me. There's some people that were surrounded by people like me and everybody. And so it was like, it was neat how we all had our own issues, but we all spoke the same language.
Yeah. And that's it too, because like, I'm not in like the beverage program, right? Like, so but I have a lot of boundaries within myself around alcohol because of like some past behaviors when it comes to just like attention seeking, codependency.
Like, how did you know that you had a problem? Because I think that's when people seek help a lot. I see a lot of people are just like, it's them. It's always them. Why do I keep attracting crazy people? But eventually you get to the point where, how did, what was your bottom, I guess?
it was realizing that, oh, wait, I'm the common denominator in all of these failed relationships, right? And granted, yeah, absolutely. Choosing people that were addicts or like unavailable for some reason or another, or finding ones that were available and then running like the wind away from them because of that. So it was, I hurt a lot of people. I was not the type of person that I would ever choose to be in a relationship with, right? I have a history of cheating and like intriguing with other people, like flirting outside of the relationship.
My program is like, yeah. I like to throw stuff and destroy rooms. So this is like, I like this part. This is good.
That's hilarious. See, I'm opposite, like with my fighting style, where I'm very like calm and collected, like with that. But I knew that then I would have these little secretive things and like sneak off and like cheat or flirt with someone. And it was leaving Australia, actually coming to LA. I really hurt the person that I was dating. And I was only dating him 6 months, a few months. But I really hurt him. And coming here, I didn't want to do that anymore. And a friend of mine, a comic friend, told me about like, hey, you know, there's 12 step stuff around this, because, you know, he was an alcoholic before and was in a couple different programs. And so I decided to like, okay, I'll go into the room and just kind of see what it's like. And my first thought upon entering the room was like, oh, these are one of those cults that people tell me about in LA. Yeah.
Is this Scientology?
Yeah. I didn't know any better, right? It's just these people like praying to a higher power or like, you know, sharing their feelings. And I'm like, what is this? But I related and I felt uncomfortable. And so I kept going back because I was seeing the change in some of the people that I had known. And I was recognizing that I started to feel bad about things that I might not have felt as bad before. I would probably numb it out before.
I love that you went like that, that somebody had the, I guess like planted the seed that made it okay. Because I had met a guy down the road a while ago that actually had he was working a 12-step program for relationships. And this is before I got sober. I made fun of him. I was like, oh, like, what are you guys even doing there? You know? And then I ran into him years later. I was like, oh, I'm in recovery too. And he goes, I thought you might eventually end up in something. I was like, yeah, I ended up in there. I don't want to get too personal with like what your, like how bad your relationships went, but what's your bad side?
It was crazy. It was, but it was quite secretive. And I think because I am very, like, I try and be very polished. That is me. But to have this like secretive side of like, I was married and divorced like young. So I was married young, like Ohio. That's what you're supposed to do. Get married and have babies. Right. I got married. I went outside the relationship with like a married man. And then after that, it was just a series of like a couple year relationships, but, I was essentially monogamous in a relationship with a man that was polyamorous. That didn't feel good. So really like let myself down with that.
So did you know he was polyamorous? And you were like, I'll do this just for you or okay.
It was one of those like outside of the marriage, I was like, yeah, this is polar opposite. Like, absolutely, like, let's do this. But inside it was just turmoil. I would like, it was the worst thing ever. He's still like a really close friend of mine, but it was me morphing into something that I really wasn't at all. And it was just pretending the entire 3 years we were together. So there was just a lot of secretive stuff. There was a lot of, I would be very hurt after breakups. I was always the one that would break up with the person. There's not been a relationship of mine where I haven't been the one to break up with someone. And the reason for that is because like at any thought or like inkling of any type of, oh, they're not happy, I would bolt because I'm not going to get left, right? The whole fear of abandonment stuff. Like, I can't imagine what it would be like getting left. So I would always leave. I always joke that my tennis shoes were right next to the door, ready to leave at any point in time.
Run, Rachel, run.
Quickly.
Once you started working a program, like, I don't know if you came in like I did, but when I came in, I was like, I'll come in to fix my problem or like to get some tips and tricks on how to like keep it under control. And then I'll bolt. Like, I'm not going to be here very long. And especially because like most of the meetings I went to with 12 step, like there's a lot of 12 step groups for a lot of things, but most of them have them listed. And like, there's the word God in a few of them. And I got some issues with that. So I was like, I don't think I'm going to stick around. How long in did you decide okay, maybe I'm gonna give this a real go.
Yeah, I feel similarly. Like, the word God always made me feel a little uncomfortable. And I grew up in a household that was, they said they were Christian, but they did some really non-Christian, God-like, you know.
Yeah, I know a little bit about that.
So I always just felt judged for feeling like I believed in a God as well, like when I was younger. So it was very uncomfortable. But for me, the deciding factor, I didn't come in at a real low. It was just like, oh, there's some behavior stuff I'd like to take a look at. And I was in therapy already for years, same therapist for years now. And so it was the people. It was the people in the 12-step rooms, understanding that I can create my own version of like a higher power or God. It can be anything and anybody, and it can be whatever the hell I want it to be. And so for me, it was like, oh, okay, transforming that into something I felt more comfortable with. Like, and it changes. It changes. It doesn't have a gender. Mine's like maybe the universe or, you know, energy or some bullshit, and it might change tomorrow. So that helped me feel more comfortable sitting in the rooms as I heard people throw around the word God.
Yeah, my wife teases me because I'll get up and I'll do like some meditation in the morning, and I'm like, and I like pray or whatever, and she's like, it's the force, isn't it? You believe in the force. I was like, get out of my brain. I kind of do, you know, like, and you're like just like you, it changes sometimes. But I'm like one time I'm like, I don't think God has a wiener or a vagina or whatever, but I have a more in the categories of things that I think that a higher power might not be. And like, the big one is like, I don't want any human qualities into a higher power, because then I think I'm like defeating the purpose.
Absolutely. I totally. And I know some people I know that I'm close to have like, it's almost their version of a loving parent that they never had. And I was like, oh, that's cute. Like, yeah, if that, you know, and that works for them. But for me, it's just, it's something outside of myself that I can ask for help, because that's one thing in my day to day. I'm to a fault, I can be quite independent and stubborn with that. And so for me, it's just even just saying, you know, I need help with this, you know, help me with whatever's going on in my life at that time. Even today, I still say like prayer in quotations, but like a powerless prayer. I'm powerless over all this stuff. And that really helps me to deal with change and ambiguity.
In going through the steps, there's some like some tricky ones, like some tough ones. Did you find that like the part where, like I know that 12-step programs, you need to make like a moral inventory. How tough was that for you?
It's funny. Like I have people that refer to the 4-step as the forever step, because they just like, it takes so long and they spend so much time. Or they call it the 4th step meltdown, right? Where like you do this inventory. It really made me admit some stuff that I was holding on to around some really, you know, bad behaviors that I had, and get honest, because that was one of my problems, is that I would embellish. I would lie, straight up lie. We could have a conversation and you'd ask me about, you know, do you see this movie? And I would say yes, without even registering what the question was. And then I felt too embarrassed to take it back. Like, no, actually I haven't seen that. As dumb and as little as that, but I would lie a lot. So having to admit to someone else and like really to myself and write down all the stuff that I had done, it helped me heal and have compassion for the person that I was back then, because I was doing the best I could. Right. Given, you know, the circumstances.
That's so important too. You know, you look back and I feel like, you know, we carry so much shame through life, you know, and like, oh, I should have done that and whatever. And then, you know, there's whether it's a 12-step group or a group therapy or just therapy itself, when there's times like, what would you say to yourself at that age now? And like, I think the first time someone said it to me, I just started crying. You know, I was like, I don't want to do this. It's like, because I didn't have any compassion. I was being so cruel and letting go and like being nice and like talk to 16-year-old Kristen, you know, and like say it's okay. You know, it's okay that you were just surviving, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, would you give that same, like the self-talk that you're doing to yourself, would you say that to someone else? Not a chance. Like I wouldn't shit on them the same way I was shitting on myself. And even like the word should, I catch myself today. That is not a word that's in my vocabulary when it says, I should have done this. And I don't should on myself anymore.
So oh,
I
just, nice.
Great. Right. I love that phrase. I don't should on myself. Anything that's like, I would have liked to do that. Okay. You know what? I'll try and do better, or I'll try and do that.
Oh, I love that. That it's always a work in progress now, and it doesn't have to be a, there's no regrets. No, it just, it's a journey, you know? I hate that. Like, I came to California 15 years ago, like eating chicken fried steak and smoking cigarettes. And now I'm like, it's a journey, you guys. I talked to my higher power. Oh my God.
So true. But you're so much happier.
Oh my God. Like, I would not trade one day of it over here. And part of it, like, so like after the step where you get out all your, you know, this is what I've done. This is honestly like the things, like, I love that somebody told me an inventory, it's like a store inventory. It's not judging. It's just, this is what's here. Yeah. Let's look at everything in here and find out what's useful, what serves this store, and what should I get rid of? And some of the things on the list I didn't know weren't useful. You know, I was like, that's just who I am. And I thankfully I had someone helping me go, no, that is not good. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? It could have been useful back then for you, right? Because it was a mechanism to protect yourself, or you didn't have other tools to like that certain situation. And for me, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. That's not useful for me today. So let me like put that aside.
Yeah. Were you able to, like for those that aren't involved in 12 step or don't know, but were you able to like, go and make right those wrongs to the people that you felt like shitty about?
So that one was complicated to me. So, or for me, because when I got to that point, like, I had never done anything like that before, because I had no history with 12 step, like I'd never really been introduced to it before. And so the thought of, in the beginning, when I first got in, I was like, yeah, I want to write all these wrongs. And I'm going to write these letters and emails. And everybody's like, hold your horses.
Slow your roll, Rachel. You're going to cause more problems.
For that. Yeah. So when I got to that point, there was mostly, it was me writing it down and not delivering or emailing or in, because there was still people that were like active participants, right? That, and then there were people that I would have, it would have hurt worse had I made contact with them. So for me, it's like, I'm not gonna rid myself of this guilt and give it and say it to you just to like, make myself feel better, right? Because it's very likely it's going to hurt you even more. But there was definitely, there was one ex in particular that I sent an email to. And it's, man, writing those, like, those apologies of sorts, really having to focus on my part of it and not focusing on what he did wrong or how he behaved, like, was a real, it took a lot. And it, I think it was that process that showed me that, oh, I'm not mad. Like, there's no resentments here. Like, I fully just accepted that I did some stuff that I feel terrible about. So let me make amends for that and then not expect anything back. And I never heard from him, and that's okay. Yeah, that wasn't part of it for me. I didn't want to do something only to get like a response to, for him to tell me it's all better now. Cause like, it's okay. I'm okay regardless of how he feels about it.
So how long have you been involved in 12 step?
It's been, it's coming up on 3 years.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
It's a fun community. It really is. I would have never thought that, years and years ago, if you'd have told me you're going to be in a 12 step program and you're going to love it. I'm like, bullshit. What, in the future, like what do relationships look like going forward for you?
Yeah. That's a great question. So my relationships with my family, someone I'm dating, like my boyfriend today, my friends have all changed. Like this has impacted everything. And for the better, like I actually met my partner, in this program and, or in 12 step, and the fact that we speak the same language, so to speak, and have like, we can meditate, we can do all this stuff together. But mostly what I have that I haven't done before, how I'm showing up differently today, is I communicate. If I'm feeling off, if I'm feeling bad about something, if I don't even know what I'm feeling bad about, we have this thing now where one, like, we'll just say, I'm having feelings. I don't know what they are.
That's
but
a code word. You're using code words. We do that. Yeah.
Yes.
Simple. When we say like, cause we ended up, I have a lot of feelings and there were times I didn't know how to communicate that. We were like, we need a code word for this. And so we came up with the word need. But one of us has to recognize that's what's happening. And so okay. If I finally get the presence of mind, I'd be like, God, need. And it's like, oh, you need a hug or something. I just need. Yeah. Yeah. I got feelings.
That's my code word, my code phrase is like,
feelings.
Or his. Yeah. And it can, I don't even need to know how or why, what they're about. And he's just like, or I'll be like, okay, like, let's be sensitive. So can I get you food? Do you want a hug? Do you want to? And it's just like the child in me is just like, I don't know what's happening. But so that's how I show up differently today. It's like, I just communicate. I don't do things out of like obligation. Like when it comes to like bedroom stuff, right? Like, oh, I need to be this certain way. No, I just show up the way I am. Like, and I'm not going to be something I'm not, which is what I was doing for years and years. So for me, it's just, it is all communication. The hard stuff, the like hot topics like money and family and all that, just talk about it. Like there's nothing in my current relationship that ever comes to a boiling point because we're always talking about things before they can even get to that point.
That's so important.
It's time for
5 quick questions.
Well, every episode we have a chit chat, which I've really enjoyed. And then I have a trivia, and I was really, I didn't know what to come up with for your trivia.
All right. Can I preface this by saying it in case it didn't get played before? I just had my first shot and I've got Pedialyte here. So if I get 0 for 5, like, please.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one because I was like, I don't want to ask you about the 12 steps and I don't want to ask you about your love life. So what I decided to do was, I decided to ask you, a lot of relationship issues are based on fears. So I want you to tell me, is this a relationship fear or a bodily function fear? I'm going to list you some phobias, and all you got to do is say if it's a relationship phobia or a bodily function phobia.
This is so interesting. All right, hit me with it.
Okay. Number one, philophobia. The word is philophobia. Is it a relationship phobia or a bodily function phobia?
Philophobia. Well, phil sounds like feelings, but I know that's not right. Philophobia, that sounds like a bodily function.
That's incorrect. I don't know why I'm rooting against you. Yes, 1 for me, 0 for Rachel.
You get these points.
Philophobia is an overwhelming and unreasonable fear of falling in love. Oh.
Interesting.
It's so intense that it interferes with your life. Symptoms can vary from person to person. So it might give you a bodily function. We don't know. Okay. Number 2. Flatulophobia.
Oh, that's definitely like you fart too much, right? So it's a bodily function.
That is correct. It is a bodily function. Flatulophobia comes from flatus, the Latin for blowing, is the fear of farting. Yeah. Flatulophobia. All right, so you're one for two right now. Pistantrophobia.
You could also be mispronouncing, and I still would have no idea.
Ginnamananophobia.
That sounds very technical.
Pistantrophobia.
I think that's a relationship fear.
That is correct. That is correct. It is relationship fear. It is a phobia of getting hurt by someone in a relationship, in a romantic relationship. Pistantrophobia is a phobia.
We all have that then.
You know, I was always like, I think of like a self-deprecating person. So I don't, and I was really detached from people. It's hard to hurt, you know, someone that's not available. So
yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Singultophobia.
Is that something with your body?
That is correct. It's a fear of hiccups.
Oh God.
You've gotten 3 out of 4?
3 out of 4.
You're nailing this. You're nailing this so much. And that's loopy on COVID serum.
It is. And it's not guessing 100%. Like definitely not guessing. I just know these.
You're so wise. What you could not do is you could not pronounce these.
No, there's no way. If you pre-shared, there's no way. You want to pronounce the next one?
After, you know what? At the end of the episode, I'm going to do this as like a bonus for the Patreons. I'm just going to give you this list and have you read not only the phobia, but the definition of it. I just want to see how it goes. Oh, good. I wanted some bonus content. Okay. Last, number 5. Eructophobia. Eructophobia. E-R-U-C-T. Eructophobia.
Like all I can think about is erect members of, so I'm going to say bodily function.
It is a bodily function, but it's the fear of burping.
Oh, all right. You erect air. I don't know.
Eructo is Latin for belch.
Oh.
Well done. You got 4 out of 5.
Thank you so much.
Relationship versus bodily functions. And that brings me to my favorite part of the episode where I ask if you will, so nicely, will you play a rad lib with me?
Yeah, I'd love to.
And now it's time for rad libs. Well, have you ever played a Mad Lib before?
All the time with my nieces and nephews.
Wonderful. This is just like a Mad Lib, but for copyright reasons, I call it a Rad Lib. And I wrote it. I wrote it specifically for you.
Oh, fun. Okay.
So this is just for you. And here's what happened. I have written a story, and I left out some parts of speech. You give me those parts of speech, and together, we're going to make a hilarious story. Are you ready to play Rad Libs?
Ready.
All right, here we go. I need a bad habit.
Fingernail biting.
Yes. I need a disaster.
A disaster, a tsunami.
I need an animal.
A bald cat.
A bald cat.
Yep. I don't know what those bald kitties are called, but they're bald kitties.
Most people call them hairless, but I like No. We're going to go with bald cat. A verb ending in ing.
Jerking.
Yes. an adjective.
Sticky.
I need a verb ending in er.
Burper? It is a verb,
yes,
but like.
Yes.
Does that work? Okay.
It does. Ooh, interesting. Plural noun.
Bears.
Yes. Aw. A question. Any question.
Are you not into taint? It's a Ben Glein one.
It's perfect.
Are you not into taint?
Not into taint. Try not to read what's before and after that part because I have a feeling that's gonna change everything. A celebrity.
Paris Hilton.
An occupation.
Gynecologist.
Yes. Where have you been all my life? I need more guests like you. Yes. A verb ending in ing.
Slurping.
Slurping. A food. Any food.
Tacos.
Tacos. A phrase.
Well, I'll be befuddled.
What's that from?
I have nothing. No, I just said it.
And now it's going like on a t-shirt. another animal.
Let's make this one hairy. Kangaroo.
Kangaroo. Yeah. What's the opposite of a bald cat? Kangaroo.
Bald cat basically, like a little roo, a joey, looks like a bald cat. Anyway.
Aww. A crime.
Trespassing.
Trespassing. One of the worst. Gotta look out for you. Such a bad girl. A noun.
Goldfish.
Yes. Plural noun.
Pedialytes.
Pedialytes. How you feeling, by the way?
I feel great. Thank you so much for asking.
So far, you haven't gotten a spiked fever? No body aches? You okay?
No, I'm good.
Ooh, a disability, like a physical disability.
What about fainting?
Yes.
Because I've got something like that.
You have a fainting disorder?
Mm-hmm.
What's it called?
Vasovagal syncope?
Vasovagal syncope?
Syncope. Yeah, syncope is the like medical term for fainting.
Oh, vasovagal syncope. When I get there, I'm probably just going to say fainting. I don't trust myself to be able to say it on the fly. in an increment of time.
A nanosecond.
We have a story. We have a fantastic
story. I'm so excited for the story.
I am too. This is great. Written specifically for you, Rachel Gallagher, and it's just called
Unlucky
in
Love. Ooh, snap.
I'm just assuming this is your story we're reading. Okay. Unlucky in Love. I've had so many bad relationships. One was married, one was addicted to fingernail biting, and I had one relationship end because of a tsunami. I'm as bad at dating as a bald cat is at jerking. When I was younger, I had a crush on this sticky burper, so I left a bouquet of bears on his car with a note that said, "Are you not entertained?" He wasn't impressed. When I was a little older, I thought I was in love with someone I met on the internet. His name was Paris Hilton. And he said he was... His name was Paris Hilton, and he said he was a diplomatic gynecologist. I believed him. He had all these pictures of himself slurping on private jets and eating expensive tacos on yachts. You know what they say, if it seems too good to be true, well, I'll be befuddled. In real life, he was actually an illegal kangaroo smuggler who was wanted by the police for trespassing. Not for smuggling kangaroos.
Rebel.
You like the bad boys. I haven't given up, though. I'm still a goldfishless romantic. I'm not looking for the best-looking guy, or the guy who has the most pedialytes. To me, love is faint. When I do find love, though, it'll be for a nanosecond.
Love it.
Well done, well done. Tell the viewers and listeners where they can find you and what you have coming up.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me on. So you can find me as one of the hosts of the Social Distancing Social Club, most days at 3 p.m. Pacific. You can look at our website. And then Chris Bowers and I have a show on Nowhere Comedy Club called Origin Stories on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific.
Oh my God, all of the shows that you are involved with are so much fun to like to be a part of and to watch. So guys, if you're not currently following Social Distancing Social Club or Origin Stories, do that right now and watch all the shows. And Rachel, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Kristen, for having me. It
was
a blast.
Interview complete. Breaking up with Rachel through a Facebook comment.
Just when you think Computer Lady can't get any weirder. Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for joining the show today. It was so fun to have you on. And thank you for listening and watching. Guys, if you like this podcast, please take a second to like and subscribe and follow it. It makes the podcast feel so loved. I'm Kristen Key. Go to kristenkey.com to follow me on all my social media. Check me out on Cameo and join my Patreon to support this and all my shows. Every week, I'll be bringing you a hilarious comedian to talk about an area that they know a lot about. We'll play 5 quick questions, do a rad lib, and then we all go home happy. Until next time, bye.
We're gonna talk to some people, gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna talk to some people, gonna learn a lot of stuff. We're gonna talk to some people, gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna talk to some people, gonna learn a lot of stuff. 'Cause Kristen.